Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
A podcast with ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
Here are your hosts, Dave Adamson and Ashley Bohens.
G'day, everyone. My name is Ashley, and welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
That was the best intro we've ever had.
I know.
Usually that's where I would introduce you, and you didn't even introduce me.
I know. I was so, you know.
So excited.
I was so focused on doing it right. I forgot to tell everyone that my lovely co-host, my fantastic co-host, Dave Adamson, is sitting across the table from me. Dave, how are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Thank you for asking. So weird to have you do the intro here, but that was good. Great job. That was good, bud. Thank you.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, 17.
Thank you.
17. Yes, it's episode 78, and I'm doing really good because it's 2 days after my birthday.
And 1 week before Christmas.
Yeah, see, that's what always happens when your birthday's in late December. People step over your birthday and go straight to Christmas. So
I mean,
thanks
don't get me wrong, Dave. You know what?
No, you know what? Thanks for just bringing up all these repressed memories of missing out on birthdays growing up.
Dave, I've got something for you.
Go.
Happy birthday to you.
What's that?
Kidding. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dave. Happy birthday to you. Do you know that if you do that in a room,
yes,
everybody starts singing the last line?
Yes, because everybody goes with it.
Ends it faster.
Thanks for not even giving me the full song. Wow, that's Dave. Awkward. You know what I've noticed living in America? Americans sing happy birthday like it's a funeral song. Happy birthday
to you.
And whenever we're out at parties and things, everybody starts out happy. And I always go, happy birthday to you, because it's a celebration.
Yeah.
Why don't we sing it as a celebration here?
I do.
And you know the other thing?
My whole life is a celebration.
It totally is. And you know the other thing we've noticed about birthdays since we're on it and since I can now just air all of my grievances.
Tell us everything.
It might not be Christmas. I think it's Festivus. And it's the airing of grievances. In Australia, once happy birthday has been sung, somebody goes, hip, hip. And everybody goes, hooray, hip, hip.
Hooray.
So it always happens at every party we're at. We sing happy birthday to you. And I go, hip, hip. And it's dead silence.
I would chime in. But just so you know, where I grew up, there's a second verse to happy birthday.
No.
So you'd have to wait until the second verse is over.
Seriously?
But apparently that's not normal because when I lived in Maryland for 10 years, they didn't sing the second verse. So I'd be singing the second verse alone.
What is the second verse of happy birthday?
May the dear Lord bless you.
That's not real.
May the dear Lord bless. Yeah.
That is not real.
I'm serious. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. We did that.
That is incredible. Well, Ash, it is exactly 7 days until Christmas, if you're listening to this podcast on the day it came out. What have you got planned for this Yuletide season?
Well, you know what, Dave? I actually have a gift for all of our listeners.
Oh, what is it?
I have made a Spotify playlist of all of my favorite Christmas songs.
Oh my gosh. What's it called? Is it called Chris Mash? Chris Mash?
I'm not that creative.
What did you call it?
It was Christmas with Ashley.
If you ever do a Christmas album, that's what it should be called.
Christmas with Ashley.
Christmas
with
Ashley.
And it's all the best. So you can go ahead and look in the show notes at thinkorangepodcast.com, or you can find it on the link in my profile on Instagram.
Awesome. I'm going to go and check it. I'm tipping there's a lot of NSYNC. I'm tipping there's some Justin Bieber in there.
You know what, Dave?
Is there a Mariah Carey song?
You know what, Dave? I'm going to let you listen to the whole thing. And what I'd like you to do is document your Christmas spirit.
Okay.
Throughout.
Done. I promise you I will listen to it. Can I leave a review?
Please.
I will leave a review. That's going to be on our go-to Christmas list this year.
You know what we should do?
What should we do?
You should make Christmas with Dave playlist. And
okay,
we should have our listeners vote between which Christmas playlist is the best.
Done. All right. So I'm going to call mine A Very Aussie Christmas.
Oh, I love that.
And yours is called Christmas with Ash. Wow. So what you need to do is look up on Spotify, look up on Apple Music, A Very Aussie Christmas and Christmas with Ash. And we want you to vote and see who comes out the winner.
Boom.
We're not competitive at all, are we?
No.
2 threes on the Enneagram, just putting together their Christmas list. That's what this podcast has become. Hey, today we're actually breaking out every other week's schedule and airing next week's episode early because next Tuesday is Christmas, as we've been talking about. And we knew that if we aired this episode next Tuesday, you'd all miss it. And today's episode is a can't-be-missed episode because we are celebrating our good friend Ashley Bohens.
Aww.
We're celebrating you today.
Guys!
Now, the reason for that is that, unfortunately, this is actually Ashley's last episode as a regular host of the Think Orange podcast, and we are bummed about that.
Sad.
Ash,
this doesn't feel like a celebration. I'm sad.
Well, I'm sad as well, but we are going to celebrate you because you're still here now, and while you're not going to be a regular part of the show, you're here right now. We think that that's a cause for celebration.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Dave. I feel very honored. But I do want to say, if you're wondering why, there's a lot of projects that I'm working on that I can't actually talk about just yet. Mm. But
secret.
It's taking a lot of my time. I'm traveling so much, and so I feel like I'm not able to be here regularly, and that's not really fair to you guys. And so I hope they find somebody who can, you know, put up with you, Dave.
Wow. Wow.
That just escalated. Kidding. Have so much fun with you, Dave.
Well, Ash, we are just so happy to see you spread your wings and fly.
Oh, my gosh. I believe I can fly.
She went with it. I'm so happy you did. Hey, and I'm so happy you did because today I want to – here's the thing. Everybody who's listening, welcome to the best of Ashley Bohens.
Oh, no.
That's what this episode is about. You're going to hear clips of some of the incredible things that Ashley has added to make this Think Orange podcast all that it is. So there's going to be singing. There's going to be laughing. That's the thing that I don't know how I'm going to live without, Ash. That
I have
that
not heard this
have.
Yet, so I'm a little bit nervous because I'm aware of things I've said on this podcast.
Hey, but you know what? We're also going to hear from some of the absolute pearls of wisdom that you have dropped. So throughout this episode, you're going to hear from people like rapper and speaker Joseph Sojourner about leveraging culture and creativity in episode 67, which you added so much to, Ash. You're going to hear from Leslie Bolser, creative director for Core Essentials, about helping local schools win in episode 73. Do you remember that one? That was a good episode. You're going to hear from author, speaker, radio host Sam Collier and Christian rapper Tadashi about finding your voice. Ash, I remember that interview. You were incredible. You said so many wise things in that. It was so
Dave,
awesome. And
you're also going to
hear from Afton Phillips, director of small group strategies at Orange, when Ashley and her discuss clarifying the win for small group leaders in episode 26, way back in episode 26. You were such a young buck back then. You were so like raw, and we were shaping you into the podcast host that you have become.
I appreciate all of your efforts, Dave.
You're also going to hear some funny stories that capture the essence of why we all love her, and we're going to give you what you want, what you really, really want, a montage of Ash singing.
Oh, no.
You told us what you wanted, and we're going to give it to you. So if you're a longtime listener, you know that the Best of Ashley episode would not be complete without her singing at least one song from Frozen. One song.
I haven't sang Frozen a long time, Dave.
It's true, and I don't think you should deny the people now. So, Ash, you know, it's just such a shame that we have to.
No, there's a lot of singing apparently that's going to happen on this episode, so we do not need to add anything to it.
So should I just...
Also, I'm a little anxious to hear what you guys put together.
So should I just let it go?
I think that in honor of my last episode, Dave, I think you need to be the one that sings in honor of me.
Well, you know, I've done it before and I will do it on this episode, I promise. Hey, before we kick off the celebration of all things Ash, I just want to tell everybody that this episode is proudly brought to you by the Orange Conference 2019. Ashley, will you tell everybody about the Orange Conference one more time?
If you've never been to Orange Conference, this is the year you're going to want to be there because I'm really excited about the theme, which is make it personal. And we're going to help you remember why you went into ministry in the first place and how you can continue to make it more and more personal, which hopefully will motivate you to continue doing what you do. Because we all know when something's personal to us, we are invested in a different way.
Amen. That was really good.
I'm really excited about it. Plus, hello, we're going to be there.
We are going going to be there? Because you're not like, you're not leaving,
No, I'm not like, this is, I don't know if you know this, Dave, but this podcast is not my only part of my job.
What? It's not?
Like, I have a lot of other things I get to be part of. And so Orange Conference is just one of them. So I'd love to see you there.
Awesome. So how do people find out more about Orange Conference, Ash?
TheOrangeConference.com.
TheOrangeConference.com. Make sure you go and check that out. Well, let's start today's episode with two moments that really capture the essence of you, Ashley. That should be your perfume line, the essence of Ashley. We're going to start with two moments that capture the essence of your personality and why we all love you so much. I can see this is going to be a great interview just from the sound of your voice.
Right?
Do you ever sing any Barry White?
Who?
I can't say that I ever have.
Let's just call out the fact that when I said that to you, Ashley's question was who?
She doesn't know who Barry White is. Who's Barry White?
Well, I wanted to say who, but in fact, I do have some sense of who Barry White is.
That's because, Terry, you and I must be more in the same age bracket. He's a singer from like the 70s who was known for having a very deep voice.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, listen, I have just been excited to tell you this story because it feels like a dream come true. I was at the Atlanta airport picking up a friend who was going to be coming in town to visit. And I was in the Starbucks in line. I'm out looking at my phone.
At the Atlanta airport. Starbucks at Atlanta airport.
Yes. Okay. Starbucks at Atlanta airport.
Busiest airport in the world.
Yeah, it is.
Like legit.
Legit.
So probably the busiest Starbucks in the world.
Well, they have one every 5 feet, I feel like.
Okay, so, but you're in this extremely busy place, packed Starbucks.
Yes, I'm in line and I'm looking at my phone because there's several people in front of me. And while I'm waiting in line, the song Killing Me Softly starts playing on their radio in Starbucks. Killing Me Softly.
Mm.
Do you know that song, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. It's really good. So, okay, this song is just like something you have to like respond to.
How does it go?
In some way. Killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly. Wow, that's terrible.
That was fantastic. I was swaying over here.
Well, let me tell you about swaying, Dave.
Okay.
So I'm starting to sway in line because like that song just moves you.
Of course.
So then I notice like everybody in the whole Starbucks is swaying, but nobody's like paying attention. Everyone's in their own world.
Yeah.
But the only thing unifying all of us is that like we're all swaying to the music. Even the baristas, everybody working at Starbucks.
I love this.
So then the words of the song start coming on, right?
Right.
And like all of a sudden you hear like little whispers of like people are singing quietly to themselves. And I'm like all of a sudden so excited because I'm like, everybody's singing and swaying. This is so sweet. But then everyone realizes everyone's singing. So we all start singing louder.
That is fantastic.
No, it was like an organic flash mob happening in Starbucks. And so the funniest part was we're singing loud and the baristas are dancing and singing. It was fantastic.
Everybody's
Starbucks,
in unison.
I don't even know how that many people can be in a good mood in the Atlanta airport, but they were. And the best part is in front of me, there was a mom and her high school daughter. And behind me was a mom and her high school daughter. And you see both of the daughters be like, mom, stop singing. Like they're like so embarrassed of their mom, and their moms turn to me and they're like, my daughter keeps telling me I shouldn't sing to this. And I was like, oh girls, listen, this is a song that you just have to not care what people think, and you've got to move and sing it out loud.
Amen.
And the moms are like, see, it's very funny.
So I don't know why, but I'm picturing, do you remember that movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off when they do the street parade and there's people flipping and people come in dancing and swaying in exact unison? That's what I'm that's what I'm picturing in my head right now.
I was picturing High School Musical.
And I'm picturing you standing on top of like a table or something and just belting out, you know, that really high harmony part.
Oh, thank you. I'm so grateful that you think I could do something like that. But I do have to say that like everybody who wasn't in the Starbucks was like stopping, turning and looking
of
in the Starbucks.
They
like they were missing out, which they were.
See, and then I'm picturing as soon as the song ended, like all these people stopped out the front are applauding you.
Pretty much.
Yeah, basically that's what happened. Hey, I know in that song, I'm pretty sure, did you tell K-Daddy this story? Because I'm sure when I walked into the bunker today that he was humming something, and I could be wrong.
I was talking to him about it earlier.
Because there's a big humming, there's a, like a humming part in that song, right?
Yes, Dave, there is.
So here's what I want to do. I don't know if K-Daddy's got his microphone on, but I would love if you could hum that humming part and have him come in, because he's a talented man. He can hit those high notes.
I'll only do if K-Daddy agrees to sing with me.
K-Daddy, you got your ears on and you're prepared to join us.
You guys should see his face right now.
Pressed up against a little portal yes. window. It's so good. He's not happy with me for getting him to sing. But
hey, I'm happy.
Go, give it a run. Go.
Okay, it goes something like, and this was, the volume was loud at this point in the song, in the Starbucks. It was, whoa, 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 la, 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 whoa.
Wow.
We are so good, K-Daddy.
That was absolutely amazing. You guys in perfect sync.
It feels good to be known.
Right? Ash, gosh, I forgot some of those things. Man, we've done some crazy stuff, haven't we?
Yeah, it's interesting to hear those collectively, those moments.
Ash, you know, one of the things I love about you is you say things that nobody else is thinking.
Thank you.
Or but has really, ever thought.
Well, I think other people think it. They just don't say it.
Well, I don't think they think it either. I remember
so
one time.
So what you're saying is it's like a spiritual gift.
I remember one time that we don't even have audio for, where you were complaining about having headphones and how you thought you got so much better when you didn't have headphones on. Do you remember what you said? Why did you get better at this podcast when you didn't have headphones on?
Well, my voice was too close to my ear.
There, like, it is again.
It was like,
I love it. My voice was too close to my ear.
I think that it's a real thing. K-Daddy, have you ever felt that?
No, ma'am. No.
Well, brilliant. I am convinced other people think this, so.
Well, Ash, you have always kept things funny and often melodic, but more than anything, we've appreciated the wisdom that you have brought into our conversations here on the podcast, especially when it comes to helping student pastors and small group leaders guide their students towards living an authentic faith. And I just want to add to that, not just group leaders and not just student pastors, but parents as well. Mm-hmm. As a dad, the wisdom that you have shared is, I've taken a note of, and I've used that in my own parenting many, many times. So now we're going to do a best of great conversations with Ashley.
There is not one mature Christian that wants to see the church that they love die. That is the reality that I tell so many leaders. I say, hey, believe this to be true. A mature Christian does not want the church that they attend and love to die. And every mature Christian wants to be able to say, this church is relatable to the generation behind me.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to say, I attend a church that we don't care about the generation coming up.
Yeah.
So I do think putting that vision out in front of them and saying, hey, now here's what that actually looks like with legs on it.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to begin to change some things. And I think we look at, like, Facebook, and they make those changes, and it's easy for us to be like, well, why did they change this click? I was used to this. And we like to complain about it, but in the back of all of our minds, we appreciate Facebook and we don't want it to just disappear tomorrow. So we understand they have to continue to change to evolve. And so we do it every single day in how we do our grocery shopping and how we do everything else that happens online. But I think churches get so afraid of, well, will they leave? And I say, no, we don't leave anything else that's continuing to evolve and change at rapid pace all throughout our culture and all throughout the world we're walking in. So all we need to do is explain the why behind it. And if you say this is to approach the generation coming behind us, I don't think there's many mature Christians who are like, well, I don't care about them.
Yeah.
And so, and if they are, that might need to be a conversation. I won't say, should they be in your church, but you need to probably have a conversation with them anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, like, when you think about having five different generations in a trying That's to true. Lead a church, and, you know, every generation behind you is a reaction to the generation in front of them. And so that means they have different values. Mm. And I know, like, the latest research coming out right now about Gen Z, which is anyone that's really 18 and younger, is what they're saying, is that they're placing higher value on, like, education and financial independence than any other generation before them. Mm-hmm. And I think what I see oftentimes is, like, the different generations think something's wrong with the other generation because they're not valuing the same thing.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, Sojo, we're both millennials, right? Mm-hmm. And how long have people talked about the millennial generation and all the things wrong with our generation? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think to myself, like, how about we're just different and it's okay? Like, we're just valuing something different. And the research that's coming out about Gen Z, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And so instead of churches who are maybe led by someone in an older generation, instead of looking at Gen Z saying, oh, this is all the stuff that's wrong with them, we have to teach them how to value something different, figure out what they value so that it becomes a church that they love and that they're going to lead one day.
Yes. And it's something that's beautiful. And I think that a lot of people think that we're opposed to each other, which is not true, because millennials want to get there. Baby boomers and Generation X, they are here. So it's like where you're at currently is where they want to be. So yes, when you're looking at Generation Z that wants to learn more about finances, learn more about how to manage their life or simplify everything so that they can kind of find their purpose, they need people who are further down the road and more wise. So I'm like, this is a beautiful tension that we have.
Ash, you just said something so, so profound. We place value on the different generations, but they're just different.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the value goes both ways, right? Yeah. I hate the way, like, my kids are Gen Zs, right? I hate the way that people are labeling Gen Zs. I hate the way that people label millennials. But likewise, I hate the way that baby boomers get labeled.
Yep.
And when we look at it from a biblical point of view, I mean, in the current culture, we all value youth, right? We all, like, young people. And
wasn't always that way.
No, from a biblical point of view, it was the opposite.
Yep.
People valued the elderly.
Which is how it is in the world.
Yes. They saw elderly people as wise, and they wanted more older people. We're going to bring older people into our synagogues, right? Because they bring wisdom with them. How do we flip that? And it's not flipping it that's bad. It's the value. This is what I love what you said. It's the value that we're placing on every generation. What if we just said, no, every generation is different and valuable, and that's okay.
Exactly.
That's that generation matters. There you go. You just started a movement right there.
Yes.
Also, in the research, I noticed one of the other changes, like specifically with millennial generations and older, brand loyalty was really important.
Yes.
But it was about us going to the brand. And what they're saying now is with Gen Z, it's about the brand showing loyalty to them.
It's so
true.
And
it's completely switched. So the way you're marketing to Gen Z has to be different than the way you've interacted with any other generation.
Yeah, well, Gen Z and millennials will say that they expect a brand to engage with them on social media in 1 hour, or they change brands. Great example, right? Hey, Delta, my flight's late. Can I get some free points or whatever?
You're good at those tweets.
Free almonds.
I'm so good
those almonds.
But if Delta doesn't reply in 45 minutes, then they're like, I'm out. I'm going to Southwest. Or I'm going to Unite. whoever, right? The point is, we have to be taking our brand a little bit differently and marketing a little bit differently to a generation that has different expectations. And that's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
Just a different thing.
All right. Well, I'm sitting here in the Orange Bunka with Leslie. Thank you so much for being on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I'm so honored to be the one doing this interview because I have a special place in my heart for the public schools. And this is going to be a very exciting conversation.
I'm excited too.
So I have been looking forward to asking you these questions. We have a lot of church leaders who are listening and maybe even some leaders in the school system. And I would love to start off by hearing you talk about, like, what would be the benefit for both sides, all sides and our kids, if the schools and the churches would start to partner together more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think maybe the first thing to do would be to step back even a little bit from that question.
Awesome.
And to think about, before any church person, professional church person especially, decides to work with their public school or partner with their school, it really helps to start out by clarifying what is a win, and probably for the school first. So identifying, you know, schools are heavy into metrics and data and measuring outcomes. So finding out what your school deems important and how they measure that, whether it's academics, behavior, culture, character education, those sorts of things, finding out how they measure those, and then how you kind of in your mind thinking of how you might impact those, and then understanding really specifically what your church win is in your job or in your specific role. I mean, obviously the church mission is going to be involved in that, and probably the Great Commission is involved in that. But really specifically, what do the people who lead you expect from you or your group that you're working with? And then the question you have to ask yourself is, do those intersect? Mm-hmm. Is there a way that those that the win for the school and the win for the church intersect at all? And then the second question you ask yourself is, does that matter to me?
Right.
Can it just be a win for the school and not necessarily be an outcome-based win for the church? Can we just work with kids in schools because we love them? Or does it have to have some, you know, return on investment for us as that. Well. And that's a really big question to ask yourself first, because if you don't go in with that mindset that it's either a win or a win-win and it's clearly defined,
right,
then you really can set yourself up for some frustration and some disappointment. And ultimately, you can really let down the school in the partnership you're hoping to create.
Whew,
yeah, I know,
that
it's good stuff.
Is amazing.
Big, big stuff. Yeah.
I love that.
And if you think about it in terms of our community, where you live, the public schools are incredibly important, even if you don't send your kids there,
yeah,
or grandkids, or have kids particularly that you know or live in your house that go there. Mm-hmm. The quality of the schools and the state of the schools determines the economic vitality of the community. There's a reason on Realty websites that they list the school district along with where you want to purchase your house, because it matters. It's important.
Yes.
And so we know it matters. Sports teams and arts organizations in the schools matter, because that's where people gather. That's where mm-hmm. they go. And if the church isn't a part of the world that the rest of the community is a part of, it makes us very, very irrelevant in that world. And so it's just logical, really, that it would be a partnership that a church would want to invest some time in.
I love how you drew the conclusion of why this is important for everybody, even if their kids aren't in the public school. Because I think that's really important for all youth pastors, all family ministers to hear, because if they do have families who are sending kids to private school, or they themselves are sending their kids to private schools, it is going to take some intentionality
Absolutely.
To get involved.
But if you think about it, these are the kids that your kids are playing with,
yes,
that they're on t-ball teams with, that they're going to play volleyball with. And these are the kids that are going to grow up and work for you and with you. If mm-hmm. you're not a professional church person, if you're a volunteer, they're going to be your employees someday. Mm-hmm. And if you want them to come into your workplace and to treat people a certain way and to have the same values or the same virtuous behaviors that you have, mm-hmm. then the best way to do that is to start when they're young and where they are all the time, which is at their school.
That's awesome. You mentioned something earlier about where you should start is figure out how the school systems are measuring success and what
yeah.
their win is. What are their metrics?
Yeah.
For someone who's listening who maybe doesn't know how to figure that out or where to start, what yeah. would your suggestion be?
Well, I would say that probably the resources are all around you. You maybe just haven't noticed yet. So, for example, if you're in a church that's more than one or two people, there is someone there who is connected with the schools, right? Mm-hmm. There's a teacher there. There's a counselor there. There's a parent of a kid who goes to a school there.
Okay.
And the first thing would be to ask people you already know
mm-hmm.
so that don't feel quite as vulnerable or as inexperienced, and you can say, hey, what's the most important things to your school? When they send home newsletters, what's the mission statement on there?
Right.
Check out the school's website. Your state Department of Education lists all of the things that schools are accountable for.
Mm-hmm.
That will tell you two things. One, it will tell you what they're accountable for and how you can help with that and attribute to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is it'll give you some perspective on how much we ask our schools and our teachers to do
mm-hmm.
and how ripe they are for having someone come alongside them and say, I'm with you. I'm behind you. How can we be a part of this?
Right.
Because it's really, we ask an awful lot of the people that we put in those school buildings every day.
You know, listening to you say that, I couldn't help but take myself back to when I was a school teacher in the yeah. public schools in Maryland. And I remember like each year, 2 years, like a new thing would be implemented
oh, yeah.
with the teachers, like
yeah.
a new metric would be,
yeah.
You know, discussed or implemented. And so I guess it made me think, like, for anyone who's listening, who maybe looked into this 3-4 years ago and is maybe doing the same thing that they were doing 3 or 4 years ago, maybe that's a great thing. Or maybe not. What would you say about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Schools' initiatives change all the time, and they probably named it something with an acronym.
Oh my gosh, I right? know, right?
Yeah. So I talk a lot to churches about the difference between church language and school language, and that perhaps your best role could be a translator between the two. Schools speak in acronyms, they speak in data and metrics, and they have procedures for everything, and churches really don't use that language quite as much, especially churches who are familiar with Orange,
right.
who use a lot of Reggie's messaging. They tend to use a different kind of language. We say things like love on and leverage influence, which in our lives and in the church context are so meaningful. Mm-hmm. But if you went to a school and you said a sentence like, we just want to come and love on kids so we can leverage influence.
Creeper.
You would scare the crap out of them, right? You can't do that. Yeah. So understanding that saying, I'm going to bring six background checked volunteers to come help at your football games on Friday nights is a totally different sentence than I'm going to come and bring some people to love on kids to leverage influence, right?
Ooh, that's
so
good.
Just knowing the language is another one of those first steps between how you can really create something that's meaningful and give the school confidence that you're going to be able to sustain this and follow through.
And another benefit to that would probably be, you know, for a kid who, you know, their church and their school are speaking similar languages. I mean, rather than competing at worst and maybe confusing at best.
Absolutely.
Well, I think it begs the question, and not to take up any too
Sam,
much
time. This is our podcast.
I'm just saying. you just denied it. It's like it begs us to ask the question, what are we in ministry for?
Yeah.
Right? Are we in it for our own personal gain and to fill our own secret holes of, you know, significance? Are we in it to feel significant? Mm-hmm. Or are we in it to help other people find their significance? Mm-hmm. And I think as we talk about this whole youth pastor thing and children's pastor, it's like, I think the only way you can really help somebody mm-hmm. find their voice is to let them be the hero.
Yeah. Mm.
And to not try to fulfill your own personal insecurities in ministry.
Yeah.
Which I think we see all the time. All right,
I was going to say, so what you're saying is everybody needs to go to counseling and figure out their stuff.
Yes.
Before you try to help them.
Yeah, right. Well, I'd imagine also a lot of our listeners are saying, you know, well, I can't possibly mentor all the kids in my ministry, which means I need to multiply myself, which in walks the significance of a small group leader, right?
Ooh, come on, Ashley.
I would imagine some of them are saying, yes, I want them. I want the small group leaders to help our kids find their voices, but I can't get them to do that. How do I get them motivated to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know who it is that said this, but I feel like I was in so many breakouts at Orange, just jumping in and out, and there were so many different people saying different things. But I think we underestimate the power of vision casting on a high level. Mm. Because I think one of the things I see happening around the country and around the world, when I'm sitting with different leaders that are having issues recruiting volunteers to come and actually commit for a long period of time, I'm going, what are you saying? Are you just saying, hey, come help us with some kids? Or are you saying you have the opportunity to help shape the future of the next generation? Mm. I mean, what is the vision that you're giving? And so I would say if people aren't coming or committing, I think the issue is the power of the vision casting. Mm. You know, how much do you really believe in it? How much do you really know? And how much are you investing in helping them understand the weight of what they could be a part of?
That's good.
And I'm on the other end of that.
Yeah.
From a leader perspective, sure. But then from an attendee or a youth perspective, I think vision has to be cast to them. I think we've dangerously, not everywhere, but in certain places, we've created storehouses for souls. And the image for me is you go from this cafeteria setting where everybody's found their voice, but they're just kind of yelling in the same room, to eventually storehousing them in your thing that you've created. And then they end up becoming the stories in the graveyards, the unreached potential, because we've kept them away from whatever their voice could have achieved because we've just kept them stored up in whatever we created, because that's a safety net in some regard, but then at the same time, it's restrictive. Mm. And so I'm saying cast vision to the youth. Like you're here for high school, bro, and you leave. Sis, you're here while you're in college, but then you leave and you're going to go be a voice and a light to someone else the same way I've been. And that's kind of the picture or the motto I see Christ having is I'm going to walk with you until you can walk. And then once you can walk, I'm out. I no longer need to do that. I can lovingly write letters back and go, man, I miss you. Can't wait to come see you. Hope the family's well. But that model is kind of like, if discipleship is visible and evident, the aspect of discipleship where the disciplers were writing letters back because they've released them is hard to be found for me. in certain parts of the country. So I'm like, man, no, release them. Wow. Train them with vision to release them, send them out with their voice, and then let them loose on the world.
I love what you said. That's actually like one of our main strategies mm-hmm. for small group leaders. And the lead small principle, the fifth one, is move them out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
So sitting with me right now in the Think Orange bunker is the one and only Afton. Like Beyonce, Afton, she only has one name. She only needs one name. Afton, you are the lead small director at Orange. For people who don't know, what does that mean?
That means I'm in charge of all of the small group leader resources that Orange puts out.
Okay. And then sitting across from me also is the lovely, oh my gosh, like, is this the first time we've interviewed each other?
This is. Do you even know how to do this?
I don't know. You all recognize this voice. Tell us who you are. I want them to guess.
It's me, guys, Ashley.
Well, it's so good to have you here.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
I love that I get to interview you rather than just talk alongside you.
Yes. This will be very interesting.
Now, but you're here because you have a ton of ministry experience working with middle schoolers and leading people who lead small groups. So this is really good. I think you guys are going to add so much today. So, you know, as we just said, Chef was clarifying the win for small group leaders. I want to know, what does that mean to you guys?
I would say the win for a small group leader is if they are consistently showing up in the lives of a few kids over time and they really are investing, encouraging, and kind of like engaging a few kids in authentic faith. Mm. And if they're doing that, for me, like the key word is consistently, because you can't be a small group leader if you're not showing up consistently, if you're showing up once a month or even every other week.
Well, you can be, just not a great one.
Right. Your That's title good. Might be small group leader, but the real win is being there every week for your kids.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yeah, Ashley? Absolutely.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Anything you would add from your years of ministry experience?
Yeah, I think the win for a small group leader is being there when they need you. And I think also the win for a small group leader is not to help students recite the information they just heard, but to apply it.
Yeah, that's really good. So when a church sets small group leaders up for success, what does that look like? What are the benefits of that? How do they go about doing that?
Can I just say, I think a lot of churches feel like they set up a small group leader for success by training them one time at the beginning of the year. Mm. A lot of churches do that. You know, it's fall kickoff. We'll tell you, you know, what shirt to wear, when to show up, what time, what materials you'll be using, what your group time will look like. And then it's kind of like they're done.
Yeah.
And I think for a small group leader to really be set up for success, there has to be a continual year-long training for that small group leader. For me personally, I am currently leading a group of second graders. And they just turned into third graders. So now they're third graders. Mm. And I've been with them since they were in kindergarten, and it's been so amazing to watch them grow. But for me, I felt like I was trained one time, and then all of a sudden I was in a group with these kids and I'm in conversations, and no one really told me what to say when they ask questions about, like, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? Or what, you know, is there something special about that water in there? And like, luckily, you know, since I've been doing this for so long, I kind of am able to answer genuinely. But I always feel for those small group leaders that are like, oh, I don't know if I've ever really had to have this conversation with someone who's such a concrete thinker. Mm-hmm. And what kind of words do I use? And what kind of phrases should I not use?
Yeah.
Especially when you're talking about things like, you know, becoming a Christian. I think for elementary leaders, a lot of times you hear the phrase like, well, okay, that's when you ask Jesus into your heart.
Yeah.
And for kids that are such concrete thinkers, they're thinking literally everything you say. So they're like, Jesus is going to come into my actual heart inside of me and live there with like his suitcase and his Keurig.
Yeah.
And no, like you kind of have to be like you, and it's not wrong to say that, you know, it's a phrase that's used so often in church. But I think if someone was able to say, hey, Afton, you're leading a group of third graders. Yeah. And just so you know, here's where they are developmentally. Here's some ways to talk about faith. Here's some ways to talk about salvation in a way that they'll understand where they are right now.
Yeah.
I think that's like the most helpful thing a church can do.
I agree.
Is to give small group leaders really great words to say, really great information about the phase they're working with.
Yeah. And in addition to the big conversations like salvation and baptism, I think it's so important for church leaders to set small group leaders up with what we're talking about this week specifically, and this is what you can anticipate is going to happen in your group. Mm. These are several different ways that kids could respond, and here's how you can navigate those responses. Yeah. Because I think the worst thing that can happen is they try to respond in the wrong way, or they try to answer a question that they don't know the answer to, or they developmentally don't know how to talk to a kid about it. And then the kid either doesn't understand it, believes a lie, or never wants to ask again.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think sometimes, would this be fair from both of your experience, that sometimes churches get to the point of, hey, we've got this many kids, we need this many small group leaders. Well, we've hit that number, we've got the right number of small group leaders, so we're done. Would you find a lot of churches think that way?
I don't even know a church that would say they're done recruiting small group leaders. I feel like everybody's always recruiting small group leaders. I feel like it's the volunteer position you never have enough of, and you never should stop recruiting, because you never know whose life circumstance is going to change.
And what I'm hearing is you also should never stop training.
Yes.
Training is such a big piece of it, because what's even better than recruiting small group leaders is retaining small group leaders. Mm. It's so much harder to train a brand new small group leader from scratch than it is to retain a small group leader for years and years and years. And part of what makes a small group leader stick is training them and setting them up to win. So when you're able to help train them and give them the resources they need so that they're like, hey, I really know how to do this. I've got a handle on it. I feel like I'm making a difference and doing something significant. They'll carry over year to year, and then you can still keep recruiting, but you've still got this solid core of volunteers that you can really count on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When a small group leader gets stuck with a question that they don't feel capable of answering, they're not likely to stick around, right?
Yeah. Or, even giving the small group leader permission to say, in our ministry, it's okay to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of small group leaders feel like they're failing if they have to say, I don't know, or if they make an answer up. And for a ministry to say, hey, we know your kids are going to ask you questions, especially middle schoolers are going to be like, hey, what about the dinosaurs? Where are those in the Bible?
Good question.
I mean, I remember asking that when I was in middle school, and I remember my small group leader looking at me like, why are you asking this? By the way, she quit. Because I think she felt like, I can't answer, and I don't want to, I'm not qualified to lead a small group that are asking these kinds of questions.
Yeah.
And I wish someone could have just, if my adult self now could speak to her now, I'd be like, it didn't matter to me that you couldn't answer the question. It would matter to me more that you stuck around, even when we were asking weird and hard questions.
Well, I think in addition to that, I don't think small group leaders only quit because they don't know the answer to the kids' questions as much as they'll quit because they don't have access to you as a ministry leader. Mm. So they get frustrated if they can't get training, or they don't know where to go for the resource, or they contact you and you kind of put them off and put them off. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, I don't really have the support I thought I would have. I don't want to do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing conversation between the leader and the small group director, or whatever that title might be in the church, right?
Our coach,
and relationship. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing. It's similar to the relationship you want the small group leader to have with their kids. You kind of need to have that ongoing relationship with the people who are reporting to you, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, we would even say structure your staff, whether it's volunteer staff or paid staff, the way you would structure your small group leaders and kids.
Yeah.
So, we would say, depending on the age group, maybe 10 kids is the max per small group leader. We would say the same thing for how many small group leaders are in the care of a staff member or a coach. We refer to them as coaches. They're volunteer positions, but one coach basically is equipping and training and in constant communication with the 10 small group leaders that they lead.
And the staff member is leading the coaches.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, this is awesome stuff. But before we move on, I do want to know, for the person who's out there listening to this in their car right now, and some kid has just literally asked them the question about dinosaurs in the Bible, what's the answer you guys give?
That is a really good question. I've been wondering the same thing. You should find out and tell me.
Hang on, is that your answer to me, or is that the example?
I would literally say that to a kid.
Really?
Can you research that and tell me? Because I've been wondering the same question. It's such a good question. And then they feel empowered, and then they can tell me.
That's so good.
Or a lot of times it's great to say, we'll find out together, or what do you think? You tell me how you why you think that's the case, or why you think this happened, or what are the possible answers? Let's just imagine what the possible answers are together so that they feel like they're a part of the solution as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh, this is why you guys are so good at what you do. That was answering a question with a question. It's so good. But I like what you said, Ashley. It empowers the student. That's so good. Okay, so thank you for answering that question for me, because now I know.
Well, and there are some questions like that that there's not always black and white answers to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why I'm like kind of laughing, like, oh, well, what did I say? Because I don't know the answer. I don't know why there's not dinosaurs in the Bible. I don't know why. And so there are answers to their questions that are really genuinely, I don't know, nobody knows, what do you think?
Yeah.
Kind of answers.
I was leading this group of sixth grade girls, and this, I will never forget this question this girl asked me. And so we're all talking, and she goes, wait. So I don't get it. Like, in heaven, if everybody's like happy and they all like believe in God and there's no sickness and no disease and whatever, like, why was Satan so unhappy then?
Wow.
And I was like, I have never thought of that question. I just believed it because I was told it as a kid, and I never went back to revisit it. But to her, she was like, well, if Satan was in heaven at one point, why was he so unhappy?
That kid needs to become a theologian.
I know. I was like, great question. Don't have an answer, but I will wonder this forever.
But I think like that's such a great example of like how you can teach kids and students to like play with the Bible and like have an open dialogue about stuff. Because as you grow older into adulthood and your faith, you have questions like that.
Yeah.
And if you grew up in a church or in a Sunday school model where those kinds of questions are shut down and not encouraged, and like, you know, like this is a fascinating, creative, you know, God that we serve, he's going to have fascinating and creative, you know, answers to our questions. They grow up and think it's not okay to ask those kinds of questions.
And what better way to teach a kid or a student that it's okay to wonder about God than to wonder with them?
Yeah.
That's good. I'm loving just listening to you guys talk about your own
I just
own
need to
little...
pause this podcast so I can tweet what Ashley said really quick.
I know, right? Happens all the time when she's hosting as well. It's so true.
I don't know if that's true because I listen to the podcast and isn't she singing for like 90% of most podcasts?
Thank you so much for noticing. I don't know if you noticed, but on my bios, on all my social media platforms, I'm the lead vocalist of the Think Orange podcast.
It's so true. I'm going to ask Ash, can you just sing a bit of Coming to America for us?
Coming to America.
Okay, I think that's I think that's enough.
Why do you always make me sing?
I don't know. What is the song though?
Tale as old as time.
You're dancing.
She's like the wind.
You went with Patrick Swayze's one song.
I don't know why that just came to me.
Moana.
Yes, do you know it? Will you sing it with me, Dave?
I don't know it, but I know of Moana.
It goes like, see the line where the sky meets the sea? It calls me.
Smarter, kinder, and louder. So what are we focused on there, Ash? I think that's the closest thing to singing we're going to get from you today. Oh my gosh, Ash. Did you sing in every episode of this podcast?
Well, I wasn't on every episode, but I...
Did you sing every episode that you were on?
I would say probably 95% of the time.
Hey, and you know what one of my favorite memories of this podcast
Please
is?
Please tell me.
Is going to like the Orange Tour and then going to the Orange Conference and having people come up to me when you weren't even around and go, hey, Dave, I listened to the Think Orange podcast. Where's Ash? And can she sing? Like literally, that's what people would come up to me and say, oh my gosh, where's Ash? Sometimes they wouldn't even name me. They would just go, oh my gosh, Think Orange podcast, where's Ash? But it's because you sang and because you made such a great impact with all of your vocal dynamics.
Maybe that's why they were asking. Or maybe because me making a fool of myself is...
No, you weren't making a fool of yourself. You were making a whole group of people very, very happy. You were making people laugh. I would get reports all the time from people who listen to the podcast who would say they just sit there laughing their heads off the whole time that we're on.
You know, Dave, there's some advice I was given that I live my life by.
What is that?
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Oh my gosh, that is so wise. I'm going to tweet that. Who said that?
The movie Elf.
The movie Elf said it. Yes. Do you mean Buddy the Elf?
Oh yeah, sorry. Buddy the Elf said it.
That is wisdom right there. Hey, what's one of your favorite memories from the podcast?
Well,
if I'm going to be honest about answering that question, Dave, I would say it's probably the things that our listeners haven't heard. Like, I'm not just saying this to like be cliche, but we have a really fun team and recording is so fun. And I cannot, like, the times where you like storm out of the bunker, I laugh so hard and I'm like exhausted for the rest of the day after we record, not because I'm like, you know, all serious and heavy. It's like, I've laughed so hard. I don't have enough oxygen in my body to get through the rest of the day. So I would say that just the process of doing this has been so much fun.
Yeah.
I wish everybody could hear all of the things that don't make it to the episodes.
Maybe we should create a blooper reel. I should get K-Daddy onto that.
Yeah, all of the fits you threw. We should definitely, definitely make an episode like that.
Or one of the things you guys who listen don't know is that what I try to do before I start every episode, before I say my traditional, my go-to welcome of, "G'day everyone, my name is Dave."
Or, "What's up everyone?"
What I try to do is I try to say something off air that will get Ashley laughing.
He does do that.
Because I get so much energy from when you have that wheezy laugh that you do, you know, when you laugh so hard it bursts out and then it turns into a wheeze.
I wonder if it's changed now that I had sinus surgery.
Oh, you gotta tell us, because I've got you on my ringtone. Whenever you call, it's you laughing.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So you gotta,
feels good to be known.
If it's changed, you've gotta let me know. So yes, those off air moments are some of my favorite as well. I really have enjoyed hanging out with you. I'm so looking forward to the fact that you're gonna come back. You're gonna be a regular, right?
Yeah.
In the bunker?
Well, not a regular, but I'll be around, you know.
And so I would like to right now just unveil the big portrait that we have had done of you in oils.
please.
In watercolor, it's right up there, and we're taking the curtain off it right now. Ash, there it is, the big reveal. What do you think?
Wow, it's huge. It's from the floor to the ceiling.
Well, you know, we wanted to capture your personality, and so we had to.
I am forever.
It's more of a mural.
In the bunker with you and whoever takes my spot.
It is more of a mural than anything else. Hey, Ash, I know that you've got so much on. How can people keep up with you? Because you are such a staple now in people's weeks. I know they will want to follow you and keep up to date with everything that's going on. Where can they catch you?
You can find me on the Rethinking Youth Ministry podcast, all things XP3 middle school, whether we're doing, you know, a Facebook Live or curriculum videos or whatever it is. Obviously, you can find me on all social media platforms. You can follow Carrie117, which is the ministry I help run in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
And my website, ashleybohens.com. You can send me a message.
Okay. Now, I'm going to interject here.
Oh, okay, Daddy.
And
in the house.
Seeing as that I don't really say much that often. But
his little face is pressed up to the portal window. But he's got his Britney headphones Spears. On and his voice and close to his ears.
And his Britney Spears microphone.
Yes.
What's up?
So anyway, I just want to say how much we have appreciated you being a part of the podcast here and how wonderful it has been to work with you.
Aww.
You have a certain amount of life and joy, like Dave was saying, that you bring to each and every podcast we do, and even off the air when just laughing and talking, it's really been something special. So it's not, even though you're not gonna be here all the time, it's still gonna be like losing a family member. So just want you to know how much we appreciate you. We had a gift we were trying to get up with you and surprise you with, and I think we were some of our technology issues, it's going to be a little behind schedule, but there is going to be a Amazon gift a card for you. And that's going to show up in so many emails and everything that's from the team and everything. So we just want you to know how much we appreciate you.
And, thank you guys.
Want you all just know you're always in our hearts, and you're in our prayers for everything and all your future endeavors. So.
Thank you. Hold on. I need to come give you a hug.
Aww.
But seriously though. Okay. Thank you.
Well, so look at this. So nice.
That was so nice of you.
We passed.
K-Daddy never talks that much. No. I feel so honored.
Yeah, there's your gift right there.
I know.
Amazon gift card is a bonus after that.
Guys, I feel so loved. Seriously, thank you.
Good. You should. You should feel loved.
Well, hey, I do. I really do. So thank you guys so much for this episode. But I also want to say to all the people I've had amazing conversations with after certain episodes have released, I mean, those were also my favorite moments from this podcast. It wasn't necessarily just recording a podcast. It was everything that happened before, during, and after that wasn't necessarily on air. So many of you have reached out and started conversations about the topics we talked about. And I feel like I was able to get to know you more, which is really cool because we're in this orange bunker, and sometimes it feels so far away from like the reality of implementing some of this. So thank you for those conversations. Thank you for all the laughs and how many of you have come up to me and started singing your favorite song. It's like so cool. And I feel like, you know, before we wrap this up, I feel like I need to pass the torch. Mm. I feel like there's someone that needs to be on this podcast that has the permission to continue the singing legacy.
Yes.
And you know, Dave, since you for sure will be here, I feel like I need to pass the baton. It would only be appropriate for you to wrap us up.
Really?
I think this is the baton pass of me. You just heard all of my singing
pass.
Montage. And I feel like this should be the beginning. That's the last of mine and the beginning of yours.
Wow. Wow. So I feel like I'm on The Voice now.
So I love The Voice.
Wow. Really? That's a shocker. So you want me to sing to take us out?
100%.
Well, I will sing now, but we need you to have you sign off for the last time with the slogan that we created that first episode that we ever did. So I'm happy to sing, but then I'm going to get you to sign off. So what do you want me to sing?
Okay. Dave, this would mean a lot to me.
Okay.
If you could sing
Can you pick something that I know?
Well, I can't promise that because as all the listeners know, you and I clearly don't have the same taste in music.
Clearly.
Because we don't even know the same artists. Because okay. You were born in like the 16th century or something. Okay, moving on.
That's really hurtful. Go, pick it.
All right, I'll give you a little bit of wiggle room here.
Okay.
If you can sing me one line.
Oh, Lord.
From any song.
No.
Off Taylor Swift's Reputation
Why
album.
Why Taylor Swift?
She's my favorite.
If you really,
can, any one line of any song no, on the album.
Well, I don't know any songs off that album.
If you can do this, you have three daughters. Come on, if you don't know this. But if you do,
yeah,
you will get a standing ovation.
I will get a standing ovation if I
Everybody deserves a standing ovation once in their life. That's from the movie Wonder.
And so this is mine. This is my opportunity to get a standing ovation.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know how
don't
I'm ever
going to
I don't know how I'm ever going to feel your shoes. I don't sing, you do, clearly. So I don't even know. Here's the thing that worries me. You know what worries me most about this when it comes to me trying to sing after you?
What?
You got a big reputation. Big reputation. Ooh, she's got a big reputation.
No way.
And you heard about me. She's got a big enemy.
I cannot believe you know a line from the album.
Nailed it.
Oh my gosh, that just made my day. Thank you so much.
Not only did I sing it, I worked it into the conversation. Did you see that?
And you had like the head thing going, like attitude.
And I had the head thing going. I was clicking.
I love that. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. That was the perfect baton pass because now you've got a big reputation.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that, Ash. You know that I absolutely love you. You know that this is just a joy. You bring so much laughter into my life. So I'm looking forward to having you on in future episodes down the track. And we've got so much planned for next year as well. And I know that this is going to be awesome. And we're going to still see you around and have you on from time to time. And I would just want to encourage everybody once more to make sure you follow Ashley on social media. What you hear on the podcast is what she is on social media, especially an Instagram story. So make sure you go and follow her right now if you don't already. Also, while you're doing that, make sure you leave a review of this episode, including a review of my singing. You can do that wherever you're listening to Apple Podcasts.
Hey, Dave, I have one piece of advice.
Oh, what is it?
It's December 18th, which means Starbucks holiday drinks will not be around for that much longer. Oh. And if you have never had the chestnut praline latte, now is the time, folks. Honor of me, if you could go to Starbucks and get that. Because the rest of the year is lonely without it.
K-Daddy, you know what I think? You know what I think, K-Daddy?
What's up, buddy?
I think from now on, things are going to be less just obscure. That literally came out of nowhere. That was so random.
But it's a big part of my life right now because that drink is my favorite. Favorite coffee drink ever. Chestnut praline latte.
Good to know. One more thing we need to know. Ash, for the very last time, can you just sign us off solo on this episode? We'll just sit here in silence as you do it.
I would love to, Dave.
Okay, take it away.
Friends, when you think next generation, think Orange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Think Orange podcast.
Join us next time for more ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
For more episodes and show notes, visit thinkorangepodcast.com.